Heavenly Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you'll move on this listener right now in your gentle, loving, powerful, and merciful way as they listen to this message from All Nations Church in Tallahassee. Amen.
Over the next three Sundays, today included, I'm going to talk about three parables of Jesus and apply those to our lives. Today we're talking about the parable of the two builders, one who built on the right foundation and one who did not. Next week, we'll talk about the parable of the vineyard, and then the first Sunday of June, we'll talk about the pearl of great price. Jesus used over 40 parables in his ministry to demonstrate true life kingdom agendas to those that were listening to him, to move people out of the religious routine and let them see God from a fresh place. I've asked Jada if she would come this morning and if she would read this poem to you.
This is a poem about two sets of Joneses, Rothschild and Evelyn, Reuben and Sue. Just for discussion, through random selection, we've chosen two couples who haven't a clue. Rothschild was lucky to marry so wealthy, Evelyn bought him a house on the beach. Reuben and Sue had nothing but Jesus, and each night they would pray that he'd care for them each. And the rain came down, it blew the four walls down, and the clouds, they rolled away. One set of Joneses was standing that day. Evelyn's daddy was proud of young Rothschild. He worked the late hours to be number one. But just newlyweds and their marriage got rocky. He's flying to Dallas, she's having a son. Reuben was holding a worn-out Bible. He screamed, "It's a boy!" so that everyone heard. The guys at the factory took a collection. Again, God provided for bills they'd incurred. And the rain came down, it blew the four walls down, and the clouds they rolled away. One set of Joneses was standing that day. So what is the point of this story? What I'm trying to say is, your life based on the rock of Jesus Christ or a sandy foundation you've managed to lay? Needless to say, Evelyn left her husband and sued him for every penny he had. I truly wish those two would find Jesus before things get worse than they already have. And the rain came down, it blew the four walls down, and the clouds, they rolled away. One set of Joneses was standing that day.
Thank you, Jada. I hope you got the message of that. The foundation is vital in our lives. Jesus makes that very clear in the parable we're about to read, that the foundation is vital in our lives. And I can say today, as much as ever in the history of humanity, the foundation upon which your life is built is vital and will determine whether you succeed in the kingdom of God or whether you fail. Another way to say it, and we'll talk about it in just a moment, Jesus said, "If you love me, do what I tell you to do. Obey my commands." You see, if we're not obeying his commands, we're not building our lives on the right foundation. Rather, our lives are structured and to build upon our wills, our desires, our plans, our aspirations, our dreams, rather than upon what Jesus has asked us to do. So look with me at Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49. Jesus said, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood rose and the stream beat vehemently against that house, it could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock." Verse 49 says, "But he who heard and did nothing is like the man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great." It's a parable. It's a story about two men doing exactly the same thing, but seeing different outcomes. May I tell you one more time this morning that the foundation of your life is critical. It's absolutely vital that you're building upon the rock of Jesus Christ, that you're not building on the sifting sands of culture or popularity or persuasion by those around you, but you're building your life on the rock of Jesus Christ. When I was growing up, and most of you know I grew up on a farm in western Oklahoma, the farm couldn't support a family of seven, so Dad always worked off the farm. He was a builder, did all kinds of construction. And I worked with him from the time I was probably 10, 11 years old until I could get my own job and get away from him. You know what I mean? Yeah, there are some teenagers like that this morning. Let me tell you, teenagers, your mom, your dad, they're going to get a lot smarter as you get a lot older. Just remember that. Remember that. Put it in your pipe and smoke it. They're going to get a lot smarter as you get older. And just remember that. But I remember Dad would have a project, and he would take me with him because I was good with the shovel. And I hated digging foundations. But out there, you had to put them below the freeze line so that when the freeze came in the wintertime, it wouldn't lift or heave that foundation up. Foundations also had to be determined as far as depth and strength by the winds that would press against that structure. And if you've been on the high plains, and some of you have recently, the winds can blow like crazy. 20 mile an hour is a normal day. You don't even notice it. You really don't notice it until it gets 40 mile an hour. And then we can have straight winds out there in the springtime that blow 50, 60, even 70 miles an hour. And then you throw in the tornadoes, and that's a whole other story. But the foundation of every structure had to be built properly with the right depth, the right strength of concrete, the right amount of rebar in order for that structure to stand against the pressures that came against it. When a great risk of earthquakes out there, although there's more now than there was then, but there was the risk of extreme drought, which would also crack the ground open and cause things to shift that were underground, or extreme wetness and rain, which would have the same effect. Our foundations determines our ability to withstand the storms of life. And if we're not building our lives on the right foundation, then when the winds come and the waves splash against it, our lives will fall. But when we build our life on the rock of Jesus Christ, we can know that if he doesn't take me out of it, he will take me through it. Let me say that again, because that's not popular, but it's very true. We all want to be delivered from it, right? But if he doesn't take us out of it, he will take us through it and will walk with victory to the other side. Amen. I love that song, I Believe, because it says, I believe the waves are parting for me now. Some of you that are in the soup right now need to recognize God's taking you through. He hasn't abandoned you. He hasn't let you go. He hasn't forgotten you. He's got you by the hand, and he's leading you through the fire and the waters and the storm till you come through to a place of victory. We simply need to hang on to him and believe that our foundation is right and true. A lot of storms come against us in life. Culture is a major storm that confronts us every day as believers in Jesus Christ. It's amazing how culture has so twisted truth and made what is right wrong, what's right, what's wrong right. It's amazing what we're seeing and hearing every day. The assault against God, against the church, against Jesus Christ, and those who follow him. And may I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it's not going to get any better. It's time to make sure your foundation is sure, that you're building your life on the rock of Jesus Christ. Because if you're building on any other ground, it is shifting sand, and you'll find your life falling apart. Christ is the rock that holds us and sees us through. I was amazed this past week when, all of you have heard this story, I'm sure, the kicker for the Kansas City Chiefs, Harrison Butker, that's the way it is, Butker. I always want to say butt kicker, and that may be more appropriate, I don't know. Anyway, he gave an address at Benedictine College. He's a Catholic. It's a Catholic school. And he talked about abortion and women's roles in the family. And it just blew up with the woke crowd. Have you heard that? I couldn't believe it. He's espousing traditional values, and they are crucifying him, trying to destroy him. And that's the way it happens in a culture that preaches tolerance, but really is fueled by hate. You see, they'll tolerate everything that agrees with them, but the moment you stand up and say, that's not right, that's wrong, then suddenly the tolerance is gone, and they're coming with anger and vengeance and hatred towards those who stand firm on the rock of Christ. So let me tell you this morning, build your life on the foundation that is unshakable and unchangeable, that is always and forever true. Build your life on the foundation of Jesus Christ, the Logos and the Word of God, the Logos coming to you and I today. Build your life on him. Because any other foundation is shifting sand. More and more there is hostility towards the church, the true church of Jesus Christ. More and more there's hostility towards God, towards biblical absolute truth. And let me tell you, you cannot face this day and this time with a lukewarm heart. You'll not survive this day and this time if you are not built upon the rock of Jesus Christ. Because the winds and the waves will overcome you. Your foundation will be eroded. Your house, your life will fall apart. It's time to understand my priority is to build my life on the Word of God and the promises of God. More and more we're told by culture, shut up, sit down. Go along to get along. Don't make waves. Yet when you read the Gospels, you will not find that attitude or philosophy any place in the Scripture. Jesus does not tell us to go along to get along. Rather, he tells us, don't be surprised if they persecute you because they've already persecuted me. He said, they hated me. Why are you surprised when they hate you? Come on, believer. It's time to wake up and recognize if our life is on the foundation of Jesus Christ, then we can stand during those storms and during those times. When godless, hedonistic culture is coming against us and trying to put us under. I like the way one man wrote it. He said, we are not going to march under the flag of compromise. But rather with love in our hearts, tears in our eyes, resolve in our souls, we are going to march under the blood-stained banner of the cross of Jesus Christ, flying the biblical truth higher than we have before, and we will never give up, never give in, and never give out when it comes to standing for the truth of Jesus Christ. Oh, church, I'm trying to drive this into our spirits this morning. Our foundation is important. It's the most important part of your life. It's the most important part of your being, what foundation you have built your life upon. And when it comes in this parable to building structures, Jesus says the same can be said of human beings. Now you realize the world divides people into categories, right? Black and white, rich and poor, educated, uneducated, Republican, Democrat, young and old. And on and on and on it goes. Jesus only has two categories. He has the found, which I hope that's you, and he has the lost. And every human being fits into one of those two categories. Either the found, in other words, you've heard the gospel message, you've believed it to be true, you've asked him to come and live in your heart and be your Lord and forgive you of your sins, you're found. And the other is the lost. Those who have rejected the truth of the gospel and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who declared it's not true, it's not real, it's not right, who refused to acknowledge what God through Jesus has done for all of humanity. And may I tell you, if you're in the first category, you're the found, then make sure you continue to build your life on that solid foundation. Never forget the time when my dad took on a remodel job. It was really a redo job because the guy that lived in the house had tried to do it himself. And we got there and my dad starts looking around and he hands me the shovel and he says, dig down in that foundation. When I started digging, there was no concrete to be found. There was no metal in the ground. There was nothing holding that addition on because he had not laid the proper foundation. You know what was happening? It was pulling away from the main structure. Cracks were showing on the inside walls. It was beginning to deteriorate and it would eventually crumble because there was no foundation. We had to tear it down to the ground, pour a right foundation, and then rebuild what he had built wrongly to begin with. Why am I saying that to you? Because you need to understand there are times in our lives when we build on the wrong foundation. When we forget we're based on the foundation of Jesus Christ and we try to add things in. We want to expand a little bit. We want to add some secular humanism. We want to add some everybody's right, nobody's wrong. We want to add the practices and the beliefs of the culture around us, or we want to add success and fame and fortune. All kinds of things we can add in, but if they're not built upon the rock of Jesus Christ, it will crumble and fall apart. We have to build upon the rock. Build upon the rock. In this parable, two men were doing the same thing. They were building a house. They both encountered a flood, but the end result was radically different. Why? Because of the foundation. The first man, Jesus said, dug down to the bedrock, and he built the foundation on that rock. I like the way Matthew recorded it in Matthew 7:25. He said, the rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew, and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. The house couldn't be shaken because it was built upon the rock. Oh, hear me, folks. You're going to go through tough times in your life. The true gospel of Jesus Christ does not insulate you from the difficulties of life. Rather, it gives you the power, the persistence, the faith to walk through those difficulties in life. So if you're looking for a Christianity that makes everything easy, where there's never a challenge, never a conflict coming against you, you're in the wrong place, because I won't preach that gospel. But I will tell you, when the storms of life come, when you lose a job or lose a spouse or lose a child, when you're financially broke, when you're emotionally spent, when you're mentally stretched to the extremes, there is a Jesus who will still do everything that he said he will do. His promises are yet true to you and I today. Oh, listen, if he didn't heal your loved one today, they're healed in heaven. There are no more tears. There are no more sorrows. It's time to rejoice because faith has been completed. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, building your house upon the rock, there will be opposition. The devil doesn't like you, and the devil's crowd doesn't like you. Quit striving for their approval. Strive for the approval of Jesus Christ. Don't be alarmed. Don't be surprised when troubles come into your life. But be on the aware and know that Jesus Christ will see you through each and every one of those troubles. In the parable, the second man built his house on the sand. No foundation whatsoever. Kind of like Bill, the guy I talked to you about a little while ago, who had built his addition without a proper foundation. And the very moment the storm hit, when the wind and the waves began blustering against that house, the first thing that happened is it was eroded from the bottom up. Everything they had built upon, the foundation, the sand, was washed out from underneath it. And it was washed out from underneath it, then the house collapsed. Oh, hear me, friend. It is so imperative and important that you and I build our lives on the rock of Jesus Christ. He is the only foundation that will stand true in difficult times. So many of the times, though, we see people building lives on the sand. It's in this story, there were two men doing the same thing, building a house. We see it around us all the time. We see family members, friends, co-workers, neighbors, all building their lives. But if they're building it on the sand and not the rock of Jesus Christ, be assured there will come a time when they won't stand the storm of life. There'll come a time when they're not able to overcome because they don't have the right foundation. Lives built on the sand are lives that are built on pleasure. Lives that are built on self-fulfillment and self-aggrandizement. Lives that are built on earthly passions and things that have no eternal value. I really wasn't going to talk about this, but I need to. Someone needs to hear this. In the midst of gender dysphoria, we need to understand that changing a person's gender never really works. If you're born a male, you're going to stay a male, no matter what hormones you take or what the doctors do to your body. You're still a man. If you're born a woman and try to transition to become a man, it doesn't work. You're still a woman. And we see that the suicide rate is so high among those who have transgendered because they got to the place they thought they had what they wanted, had what would make them happy, and then realized it didn't. It didn't. You see, we can't undo God's creation thinking that we can do it over better. You can say amen or say oh me. I don't care which one. But God made you the way you are for a reason and for a purpose. Maybe it's time to stop looking how you can change your genders and start asking God, how can I please you? How can you do something in my life with who I am and what I have? Oh, hear me, folks. Life built on the wrong foundation will surely be destroyed. There is no question about it whatsoever. What is Jesus trying to tell us in this parable? You know already, he's not talking about houses. That house represents our lives. So the question he's asking of each one of us is, what foundation are you building your lives upon? Paul wrote it this way to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 3:11. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. It's the only foundation that endures through eternity. You say, well, my foundation is built on another religion. Sorry, not going to see you through. Well, my foundation is built on what my grandma taught me. Sorry, it's not going to see you through. The only foundation that endures is the foundation of Jesus Christ. There is no other. 1 Peter 2, 5 through 10, Peter wrote these words. You also as living stones are being built upon a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices accepted to God through Christ. I've got to stop there. Right after we came, I preached a message from this passage of Scripture. And I told everyone in the room that day that you are the priest of your household. You have responsibilities to your family. Rise up and be the priest of your home. Had a man call me, wanted to talk to me. He came in and he said, I completely disagree with that. If I'm a priest, why do I need you? Completely missed the point of Scripture. Hear me, friend. This is personal responsibility to you and I. We have to accept it. Verse 6 goes on to say, therefore, it's also contained in the Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Verse 8 says, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they were also appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And somebody ought to shout, amen. Who were once not a people, but are now a people of God, who have not attained mercy, but have now obtained mercy. That's what happens when you build your life upon the rock of Jesus Christ. Every good and everything that he has promised comes to you when you build your life upon that rock. I remember reading the story of a lady who was sharing Jesus with a family member. This family member responded, oh, I love Jesus with all my heart. But then she added, but I'm going to do with my life whatever I want to do with it. That's pretty much an oxymoron, isn't it? Saying one thing and then another. Makes no sense. Jesus himself said it doesn't work that way. The real test of discipleship is obedience. John made it clear again and again. John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commands. John 14, 21, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. John 14, 24, anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. You see, friend, you can't say I got a deal with God because God doesn't make deals. He already paid the price. He did it when he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to be born of a woman. He did it when that son lived a sinless life on planet Earth. He did it when that son was crucified for your sins and for mine. He did it when that same son was raised again from the dead on the third day and now sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and for me. We have to understand, God doesn't make deals. You see, God isn't going to say, I want to save you, then I'm going to turn you loose and let you do what you want. No, he says, I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to rescue you. I'm going to bring you out of darkness into light. I'm going to give you hope and a future. I'm going to change your direction. I'm even going to change your name. And then you're going to live for me. And you'll live for me not because I require these things, but because your love for me is so great because of what I has done, you want to live for me. See, that's the difference in legalism and religion and really knowing Jesus. You don't do the things you do because you feel like you're forced to or compelled to. You do what you do because you love him. and you recognize the great price that has already been paid for you, and you stop getting in the let's make a deal business, and you start getting into how can I obey you business. It's an amazing thing. Many people claim to be Christians, but they're simply functional atheists. Dr. Anika Fields taught a class on that not very long ago. Talk to her. She'll give you all the insight. People who give lip service to the obedience of Christ, but they live their life as if he doesn't exist. Remember, Jesus divides the world into two categories, the found and the lost. Those are the only categories there are. It's not black and white, red and yellow. It's not rich and poor. It's not your ethnicity or the culture you came from. The only thing that matters to God is, are you found or are you lost? And if you're lost, how long will it take before you allow him to find you? So we need to understand he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Isaiah 28:16, Peter, John, Matthew, Mark, and Paul all quoted the scripture. So see, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. And the one who relies on it will never be stricken with panic. Halo, would you come back? Every one of the gospel writers and the apostle Paul referenced that scripture and talked about the importance of our cornerstone. The cornerstone that we build our life upon. You may say today, but I'm successful. Everything is going well. I don't have any problems or complaints. I'm not in trouble. I don't feel any pressure in my life. That's not the issue. The issue is, have you accepted Christ as your Savior? Is your foundation steadfast and sure? Are you building upon that rock? That's why Paul wrote to the Ephesians in Ephesians 2:19 and 20, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, which Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. With Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. When we understand our life has to be built on Jesus Christ, because all other ground is sinking sand, it moves us to a place where we desire to be found so that he can establish our life on the rock and change our eternal destiny. You see, we can't say we follow Jesus if we don't know what he expects of us. That's why Wednesday nights are so important. That's why Sunday school on Sunday morning is so important. It engages you in learning the expectations of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You learn what God wants from you and how to implement that in your life every day. And when you come in on Sunday morning, my goal is to inspire you, to edify you, and to challenge you. But I can't, in 30 minutes on a Sunday morning, deliver to you the entire gospel of Jesus Christ. But if you'll come Sunday mornings at 9 and Wednesdays at 7 and go week after week after week and build block upon block upon block upon block, your life will expand. You will know and understand what he expects, and you will see change. More importantly, the joy of the Lord will begin rising up within your spirit like a artesian well. You know what an artesian well is, right? It's a well that flows. There's no pump on it. It just flows. We had one about 30 miles from our house, the best water you've ever tasted, and it flowed at about 500 gallons a minute, 24/7. That's an artesian well. So that when you find your life built on that rock, the joy of the Lord begins flowing up within you and enables you to overcome everything that challenges you. So can I encourage you? Read the Word every day. It's important. But it's also important to connect with other believers, to get in one of those small groups. Allow God to speak to you through someone else. Clarify what you've read and what you believe. And let God do a great work in your life. In 1834... carpenter by the name of Edward Mote was walking to open his shop one morning, and he'd never written a song in his life, didn't think he was a songwriter, but these words began to flow from him. He jotted them down. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Wrote him down, stuck that note in his pocket, forgot about it until the next Sunday, when one of his friends came to church and his wife was sick at home, and he asked Edward to come and pray for her. So when he walked into the room, he didn't know what to say, didn't know what to pray. He hadn't been a believer very long, and the Spirit said, pull out that paper. So he pulled out that paper, and he began to sing to her the words I just read. Faith welled up in her spirit. Faith welled up in his spirit. God did a work in that room today because he was reinforcing the fact that when our lives are built on the solid rock, we can endure everything, and we will be in victory every day. There are times, a lot of times, when I personally have had to say, Lord, if you would heal my back, I'll worship you forever. But then I have to say, Lord, if you don't heal my back, I'll worship you forever. Lord, if you can get more glory through my suffering than you can through my healing, I'm on board. Do what you want to do. Oh, come on, folks. It's time to stop moaning about what you're going through and begin rejoicing about who's taking you through it. Stand your feet with me across this room today. Father, I pray for every person under the sound of my voice, those online, those watching today and in the future. I pray now for the Spirit of the living God to bring heartfelt conviction into our lives. I know many of the folks in this room, many of the folks online are believers. They're following you. But I also know how easy it is to allow other things to come into our lives and begin building portions of our lives on a faulty foundation. I've done it. You've rescued me. You've redeemed me. Even in my stupidity and my error and my sin, you still found me. So Lord, I pray for those in this room today who would say, I want to build my life entirely upon the rock, but I love Jesus, but it's time today to put all those things aside and say, I'm coming to you so my life can be built upon the solid rock of Jesus Christ and nothing else. I'm praying for you this morning. The Spirit of God is speaking to you. I want you to step out and come because I want to pray for you this morning, and God's going to touch your life. He's going to put your life back on that complete solid rock foundation that enables you to move through the difficulties and the storms of life. Sing it out, Haley. As she sings, you come this morning and we'll pray.
You made it to the end of the message, and now what? Is God leading you to make a change? Are you needing a good church home where you can grow and help others grow as you fulfill your part in the body of Christ? Then we invite you to join us at All Nations Church on Scherer Road in Tallahassee. A multicultural church founded on the truth of God's Word and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our Sunday morning service is at 10:30 and Wednesday night service at 7, plus youth group and kid power and small groups and more. For more information, visit our website, allnationstallahassee.com.